Today's passage from the Old Testament is a passage that you may be familiar with, Isaiah's recollection of the divine vision he had, which told him that he was called to be a prophet of God, from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on his throne, high and exalted, and his robe filled the whole temple. Around him, flaming creatures were standing, each of which had six wings. Each creature covered its face with two wings, and its body with two, and used the other two for flying. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world." The sound of their voices made the foundation of the temple shake, and the temple itself became filled with smoke. And I said, "There is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful, and I live among a people whose every word is sinful. And yet with my own eyes I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the creatures flew down to me carrying a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with the burning coal and said, "This has touched your lips, and now your guilt is gone and your sins are forgiven." And then I heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will be our messenger?" And I answered, "I will go. Send me." And so he told me to go and give the people this message: no matter how much you listen, you will not understand. No matter how much you look, you will not know what is happening. And then he said to me, "Make the minds of these people dull, their ears deaf, their eyes blind, so that they cannot see or hear or understand, because if they did, they might turn to me and be healed." And then from Mark's gospel, we hear a brief message Jesus gave his followers. Jesus continued, "Does anyone ever bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or under the bed? Isn't it put on a lampstand? Whatever is hidden away will be brought out into the open, and whatever is covered up will be uncovered. Listen then, if you have ears." An essayist in the New York Times once asked readers to consider their setting, wherever they were right then, and he posed this question: "What do you hear right now?" Well, let's try that. Let's take just a few seconds to hear what we hear right now. What did you hear? Maybe traffic? The fidgeting of someone nearby? A jet overhead? Chirping? Barking? Coughing? An air conditioner? A device in another room? That essayist, Seth Horowitz is his name, he was an auditory neuroscientist at Brown University. Because of his study of the sense of hearing, Horowitz pointed out that asking, "What do you hear right now?" that's actually a trick question. Before being asked that question, your sense of hearing was mindlessly processing many background auditory stimuli. Your brain subconsciously noted that none of those things that you were hearing signaled any sort of threat to you. So your brain allowed your auditory surroundings to be heard and ignored. But then I asked you, "What do you hear right now?" And your brain took control of the sensory experience and made you listen rather than just hear. You paid attention to your auditory surroundings. You elevated your game. Your physical sense of hearing was no longer merely monitoring your surroundings. You elected to employ the skill of listening. Listening is not the same as hearing. Listening is hearing that pays attention. God's prophet Isaiah paid attention. Isaiah sensed that God was claiming his life for God's service. That sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah begins with Isaiah's recollection of that experience when he sensed God calling him to be God's messenger, God's spokesperson, God's prophet. That's the familiar passage describing Isaiah's vision of God surrounded by six-winged angels, a burning coal from the altar purifying Isaiah's lips, Isaiah responding to God by saying, "Here I am, send me." And normally that's where we tend to stop reading that passage. But in the next paragraph, God told Isaiah what to say to the formerly loyal Israelites. I never noticed it before, but God actually employed a measure of irony in his instructions to Isaiah. God told Isaiah to say this to the disengaged believers: "No matter how much you listen, you will not understand." God then added the ironic explanation to Isaiah: "Because if they did listen, they would understand and they would turn to me and they would be healed." In other words, the blessing of acceptance is God's gift to the world if we would only listen. Listen to God's promise revealed in Scripture. Promises of divine forgiveness, gracious acceptance, a calling to serve God's will. The good news is that God longs to be gracious and loving to us. And we would know this truth if we would listen for God's word. Listen with attention. Listen with expectation. Several times in the Gospels when Jesus addressed the crowds, he would conclude a lesson by telling them, "Listen then if you have ears." That seems to capture the distinction that auditory neuroscientist Seth Horowitz pointed out, the distinction between merely hearing and actively listening. I knew a college choir director who was well aware of that distinction between merely hearing and actively listening. In his choir's printed programs for the concerts, he always included a note about how a performance is made complete, not merely by the choir singing, but by the audience actively engaged in listening. It's in the making and the receiving that music becomes music. Years ago, I remember hearing someone's sermon called "How to Listen to a Sermon." In a nutshell, the preacher said to listen with expectation that you're going to hear something that speaks to you. He also said that if you ever become distracted, which we all do from time to time, he said, just acknowledge that your mind has wandered off for a moment. Don't beat yourself up about it. And then re-engage the preacher, as it said, with this program already in progress. There was an old TV program called The X-Files. It used to have a tagline, "The truth is out there." That's kind of what Jesus meant by saying, "Listen then if you have ears." Jesus told a parable about the wisdom of putting a lamp where it will cast light, which is what it's meant to do, rather than the futility of placing a lamp under a bed or in a closet where its light would be blocked and hidden. He meant that the good news, the gospel of God's loving kindness and mercy, is made available to everyone. But if we don't listen for it, the good news may be lost, crowded out, drowned out amid the background noise of daily life, the schedule of doctor appointments, the rush of summer activities, the pressures of the work world, the demands of family life, the cycle of the news day. Although it's easy for us to be distracted from listening for God in the course of our daily lives, it's also not that difficult to fend off distractions by making a deliberate effort to listen. To listen with intention. To listen with expectation. I've told you before, I'm sure, that when I'm in the car, I'm running errands, or I'm making visits, or I'm going on a trip, I tend to have the radio playing, listening to classical music or public radio, maybe sports talk or a ball game, or my guilty pleasure of old-time radio comedies. If I'm in the car, there's probably noise. Except that I've learned that sometimes I need to make use of that off button. Maybe I'm on my way to a difficult hospital call, or sermon ideas are swirling in my head without finding any particular focus. And I've discovered that if I stop the noise and drive in relative silence, invariably a thought comes to mind, an idea begins to present itself that I'm convinced I would not have encountered if I were listening to a Guardians game or a Gershwin concerto. Making a deliberate effort to listen with attention, to listen with expectation, can be fruitful. In his book entitled Directions, author James Hamilton shares this insight about listening for God, tells this story. He says, before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, a tightly fitting door. In winter, when the streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut. They were hauled to the ice houses and then covered with sawdust. Often, the ice would last well into the summer. Well, one man lost a valuable watch while working in an ice house. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust, but he couldn't find it. His fellow workers helped him, but their efforts were also futile. A small boy heard about the fruitless search. He slipped into the ice house while they were on their lunch break, and soon he emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked how he found it. The boy replied, "I closed the door, I lay down in the sawdust, and I kept very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking." Often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are being still enough and quiet enough to hear. Yes, Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father always listens to us, but do we listen to God? In the 46th Psalm, the psalmist assures the people of God's presence, even in times of turmoil and struggle. In such periods of chaos and strife, when your future is uncertain, your safety is in question, the crisis at hand can be overwhelming and distracting, and it's in the midst of that moment that the psalmist presents God's reassuring voice, urging, "Be still and know that I am God." Yes, our physical sense of hearing may diminish across the years, but we can always develop our skill in listening for the guidance of God's Holy Spirit as we more closely seek to follow the way of Jesus. So when we finish this broadcast, I encourage you to practice by allowing yourself, say, even just 1 minute of calm, of silence, of stillness before you move on to your next activity. Give yourself a minute of silence, not merely to hear, but to notice, to listen, to turn your focus to God. Amen.